be with you.
And also
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants who the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, but did not make preparations nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we began this series to be generous followers of Jesus. And Pastor Milky last week left us with the simple thought: everything is his. Everything is God's. It's not my money, my car, my house, even my children. It's his. It's his money, his car, his house, his children. And if we speak in that way, language matters. If we speak in that way, it helps us see the world in a new way. And it helps us look at what we have a little bit differently. And today's parable then calls us to, if we understand everything is his, how do we respond? And it starts with this exhortation: "For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also." And we see this is true in life. It's not the other way around. Right? Sometimes we can say, "I care about this" or "I care about that." But the real test of where a heart is where we put our treasure. And I'm not talking about when we have enough treasure to do this and do that and one thing and another. I'm talking about when things are difficult, when things are challenging. What sacrifices do we make? What choices do we make when it can't be A and B, but it's one or the other? For example, let's say there's a boy who has a girlfriend and he really, really loves this girl and he wants to marry her. She means the world to him. So he goes out and buys an engagement ring, but he's strapped for cash. So he goes and he finds a $50 ring in the clearance section of Walmart. Now, if he's strapped for cash because it's Elkhart circa 2010, 2011, and he's having a hard time even just finding a job, and these $50 were the last of his money, well, that's a sacrifice, isn't it? He just gave everything he had to show this woman he loves her. And then it's a proclamation that he treasures her. But if he's strapped for cash because he just bought a new Mustang, and between the down payment and the monthly payments, there's not enough left to buy this girl a nice ring, then does he really treasure her? Or does he treasure his car? Right, the circumstances matter. What we've received matters. But the reality is, to ourselves and to the world, where we put our treasure communicates something about where our hearts are. Where we spend our money, where we spend our time. It's a reflection of where our hearts are drawn. The things we're willing to make sacrifices for. Jesus tells us today a parable of these servants who wait for their master, these good stewards. They're given run over the estate of the master while the master is at this wedding feast. And they run it with great respect for their master. He knows that what he oversees is not his own. It wasn't gained by his own efforts. It was entrusted to him as a gift. He didn't get it because of his own efforts. He didn't get it because some random strike of luck to be in the right place at the right time. No, it's a gift. And he treats it as a gift. I mean, this is a pretty simple concept. If we are entrusted with the treasure of another person, we honor them by using it as they've asked us to and treating it well. For example, if I give each of you $50 today, I'm not going to do it, but I do love you all. If I gave each of you $50 today and said, go give it to someone who needs it. Go buy something for someone in need. Spend it on somebody else. It would be a little easier than if it was my own money, right? Because it's a gift. You didn't expect it. It came out of nowhere, and you'd be thankful for that. And you would probably use it in that way to honor me and to respect my wishes. But the reality is, everything we have is a gift. Everything we have should be viewed in that way because everything is from the master. And the servant doesn't try to say, oh, I love my master and it's really, really great with meaningless platitudes. He actually acts in a way that shows he respects that the master had given him this trust. And the master sees this and he loves his servant and he comes back. And it says he prepares a feast for them, for these servants who were faithful. He prepares a feast for them. Because the servant was always faithful. The servant wasn't trying to like watch out for when the master was coming home and then get everything ready real quick, right? When we were kids, my parents used to do this progressive dinner and they would walk to all their neighbors' houses. Maybe you've done this before. And the kids would all be at the Davis house and we had a NES, a Nintendo system, in the upstairs back part of the house with an old, you know, crank TV. And we would have a couple guys playing while the other two were at the front window watching out. Right? So if mom and dad came, we'd all run to our beds and turn everything off and act like we slept the whole time. Right? That's not what the servant's doing. He remains vigilant. He remains faithful. There's no way he's going to be caught off guard because he's simply doing what he's supposed to do. And Peter asks Jesus, he says, is this parable for us or is this parable for somebody else? Is this parable for others? And then Jesus goes back into this parable, but now he tells it in two ways. He talks about this good steward, but then he talks about a man that when the master is delayed, he grows careless with possessions. And he throws a party. Now this master, this servant, still knows everything belongs to his master. He's aware that everything belongs to his master, but he treats the possessions as if they're his own. And he lives by this creed, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. His heart is wrapped up in the pleasures of now. And so he squanders it for his own selfish desires. And he abuses the other workers. And he's gluttonous with his food and with his drink. I mean, that's the thing. If you know it belongs to the master and you choose to use it otherwise, what does that say? And the reason he did this is because the master was delayed in coming. And this is not an uncommon thing. We even see it in other places in the scriptures. Moses goes up to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people of Israel start to get anxious. They see he's not coming down. They wonder what happened to him. He probably got eaten, right? by some animal. And so they start to party. They make for themselves this golden calf, made in the image of the gods they plundered from Egypt. All that gold and silver that was made so that they could build a house of worship to their God, they melted down and fashioned into a god of Egypt. And God gives them over to what they desire. And he forces them to drink that which they treasured, and it kills them. In the Garden of Eden, God offers Adam and Eve all the fruit, all the trees, except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, except for the fruit from that one tree. And a lot of times we get hung up on that one tree. And we fail to recognize the wealth of gift that he gave to them. We fail to trust that he had a reason for saying, don't eat of this fruit. It's not for you. And God warns them, but God, who was walking with them in this moment, is not walking alongside them. And when he's gone for just even that moment, Adam and Eve listen to the sermon and they take and they eat for themselves, trusting that they would make better masters than the master, that they would use more rightly the gifts of God than even God could understand or use. And so instead of trusting their master, they take for themselves. And they not just disobey him, they neglect their call to care for all the creation. And they know they're wrong. They hide like scared children in the corner because they know what they've done. They've been unfaithful to what they were given. The master in the parable was delayed, and so the steward forgets that it's his, or maybe he thinks something happened to the master, so I might as well enjoy it. Or maybe he thinks that the master forgot where his home is. Whatever the justification, he uses those gifts he's given for his own fleeting pleasures instead of caring and using them rightly. He never treasured his heart was never with his master. Never. His heart was wrapped up in all the things of this world. He only treasured the master for what he could get from him. And in squandering those possessions of the master, he now forfeits his right to be at the feast that the master prepares on his return. And it says the punishment for him was great. In fact, the Greek word, it says he was severely beaten. The Greek word says he was cut in two. And before we think that's a little overdone, it's probably Jesus pulling on this covenantal imagery, these covenants that God made with the children of Israel in the Old Testament. The promise was, we're going to hold up our end of the bargain, and if you fail to uphold your end of the covenant, then let you be torn in two. The punishment is death. And time again, the children of men were unfaithful to their God and broke the covenant, and time again, God had mercy on them, restored them. This is what boggles my mind, is how generous God is to us, his people, with his gifts. We know intuitively that everything we have is a gift. We know it. We just forget it so often. We think that we're entitled to it. We think that we've earned it. There's this comic I found this week from The Simpsons. And this is Bart Simpson's prayer. Dear God, we paid for all this ourselves, so thanks for nothing. And while I don't think any of us would be bold enough to go home at lunch and pray this, I think sometimes the way we spend what we've been given and we spend our time reflects just this. This is all mine. I don't owe you any thanks. There's two responses. We can act with entitlement. I deserve this. God's just giving me what I'm owed. And if that's the heart we have, we're always going to complain about not having enough. We're always going to complain about lacking. Everything's going to be scarcity and injustice against us. Everything's going to be jealousy and envy against those who have more than us. So we can respond with entitlement, or we can respond with thanksgiving. To be thankful. To have hearts that are turning to God in praise. And then we notice that all we have is abundance. We have more than enough. Because we trust that God provides for us, his children. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? What is tugging at you right now? What things are distracting at you? Which things are causing you anxiety because you don't have enough and it's not going to work out and you're not sure you're going to make it? And the temptation is to put more pressure on myself to just make it work and get more and have more and do more. But stop for a second and think of what God treasures, where His treasure is. Deuteronomy says this, that you are His treasure. Hear these. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to your fathers. He loves you. He treasures you. His heart is with you. He offers you a banquet. And He's entrusted you with His estate. And when we botch it, when we mess it up, when we make a mess of things, and we're focused more on living for ourselves than being generous with the gifts we've received. He didn't say, you messed up and I'm taking all of it back. He gave us more. He gave us His Son, His only begotten Son, who treasures you too, who died for us. He's given us everything. 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 Everything the Almighty, Omniscient, Omnipresent God has, He's given to us creatures. Do we understand this concept? A lot of times I think we tell ourselves He's given us quite a lot. He's given us everything. Any Parks and Rec fans? Any Parks and Rec fans? Come on. You exist. That's how I learned about Indiana before I moved here. It was very educational. There's a part, Ron Swanson, he goes into this diner and he tells the waiter, he says, give me all your eggs and bacon. And the guy starts to walk away and he says, stop. He doesn't even let the waiter say anything. He says, stop. Turn around. Like, come back here. And the guy comes back and he goes, I think you heard me say, give me a lot of eggs and bacon. What I actually said was, give me all your eggs and bacon. It's a man after my own heart. But how many times God says, everything is yours. Everything is yours. And we start to walk away. And He calls us back. He says, no, 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 no. What you heard me say is, a lot of things are yours. Everything, all of it, is a gift for you, my child. His heart is with us. He treasures us. He spent it all on us. So where do we place our treasure? Think about this week. Where do you put your treasure? Where are you spending this week? And what things are you going to invest your time this week? Work, family, recreation, service, worship, prayer, devotion, catechesis, learning, and digging into the faith? Where are you spending your time this week? Are you being generous with your time? Are you being generous with your money? It's His. Every minute, we all have 60 minutes in an hour. Every minute is His. We all play with the same money. Every dollar is His. Will we be generous with it? And the problem is, these things, they cause us anxiety. They cause us worry. And this is how He started today. Fear not, little flock. Fear not. For it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't store it up. Give it away. Be so kind with it as the Lord has been kind to you. Many of us have forgotten the faith because the Master was delayed in coming. Some of us have forgotten the faith because we were so enamored with all the gifts He gave us that they distracted us from Him. Some of us fell so in love with the gift that we forgot about the gift giver. Some of us just have hearts wrapped up in this world. But He never stops treasuring you. And He never stops giving you His heart. And He never stops giving you His good gifts. And so we give thanks. Even today, we give thanks as we recognize where this all has come from. That all this treasure that we've received is from the One who treasures you, each and every one of you, eternally. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles'.